The Story Behind the Song. Frederick Knight Logan was a thorough musician, but as in the case of so many other artists possessing superb innate talent and sound training, he had enjoyed no spectacular success in the metropolis of show business, New York City. Certainly not discouraged, but with the contented wish for peace and quiet, he returned to his hometown, Oskaloosa, Iowa, satisfied with becoming a local musical instructor. One afternoon of a warm summer's day, Logan left his home for a stroll along the roads of the countryside. New York, Broadway, fame, fortune, all far from his mind. Presently, he heard from a slight distance the sound of music. Music? Well, Logan soon discovered that the sounds were emanating from a venerable and ancient guitar held in the gnarled hands of an even more venerable and ancient colored man seated upon a large boulder. Logan stops, listens, attracted strangely by the weird melody. At length, realizing the presence of his visitor, the old man ceases his strumming and looks at Logan. Logan speaks.
Hello, Uncle.
Yeah, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
What were you playing just now?
Oh, just my old guitar, sir.
No, I mean that tune. Where did you learn that?
Oh, that. Well, sir, I tell you. I learned that tune from my old pappy. Yeah, sir, my old pappy done teach me that melody.
Mm-hmm. Did your pappy ever tell you where he learned it?
Oh, yeah, sir. Yeah, he sure did, sir. He done told me it was teach to him by the Indians.
The Indians? Hmm. Well, thanks, Uncle. Here, buy yourself some chaw tobacco.
Yeah, a dollar. Loan me, sir, a dollar. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I tell you, Jack, that tune has haunted me ever since I heard that old darkie playing it. Just think, man, if it affected me that way, even in its weird, almost savage state, just think how it would affect other people if it were dressed up with modern harmonies. The melody changed just slightly here and there to meet modern tastes.
No, Fred, it's too weird, too fantastic to ever meet with success. It'd never be a hit.
No, I don't agree with you. I'm going to fix it up and get some lyrics written for it and publish it.
Publish it yourself?
Yes.
But think of the expense.
Oh, hang the expense. I know I've got a song here that'll hit the fancy of the public, and I'm going to follow it through.
Well, Fred, how's your song coming along?
Song? Oh, that. Well, Jack, I guess you were right. Yes, I had it published all right. I even arranged it for dance orchestra and sent some orchestrations to leaders I know around the country.
Nary a tumble, huh?
Nary a tumble. Well, it was rather an expensive little venture, but I guess it taught me my lesson. Hereafter, I'll stick with teaching.
The scene shifts now to Chicago, to the offices of Fred Forster, who is conducting a music publishing and jobbing business in the Windy City. Forster is at his desk, scanning his morning mail.
Benny.
Yes, Fred?
I heard this letter.
Yeah?
You know anything about that tune?
Never heard of it.
That's funny. I haven't either. And yet I've had, maybe a couple of dozen orders for it in the last month.
Maybe it's another one of those gags where some half-baked songwriter in the sticks gets his friends to write in.
No, I don't think so. The orders have come from cities all over the country. Philadelphia, New Orleans, Seattle. Some of the music houses say their customers have heard it played by dance orchestras. No amateur writer could have that many friends.
Maybe. Well, what are you going to do about it?
You take a week off, Benny. Find out who published this number, and as soon as you locate anything, wire me.
But, Fred, this is just a...
A wild goose chase? Maybe. Try it anyway.
Find a thing. Nobody I talked to even heard of the tune, much less knew who published it.
That's too bad. Oh, well, here's a new song. Just came in. Get Mabel to try it over for you, and if it's any good...
Hello, Fred. Mind if I bust in?
Oh, hello, Lou.
Benny.
Hello, Lou. How are you?
What are you doing in Chicago, Lou?
I just let my trumpet player take over for a couple of nights. Need a vacation. Been playing steady for 4 months now.
Oh, are they still dancing in your town?
With my band playing for them, sure they dance and love it. What's this?
Oh, that's an order. I mean, another order for a tune.
Oh, are you handling this number, Fred?
No, I wish I were. Can't find out anything about it. Benny's just come back from a week of sleuthing around the country, but nobody seems to know a thing about it.
Well, I do.
What?
Yeah. Been playing it for a couple of months. Customers kind of like it, too.
Well, for the... All right, all right. Who wrote it? Who published it?
It was written by a fellow by the name of Logan. Lives in Oskaloosa, Iowa. Music teacher down there.
Logan? What's his first name?
Frederick Knight.
Yeah, who published it?
He did. Yeah, I told you.
Quiet, Benny. Take a wire.
No, all right.
Frederick Knight Logan, Oskaloosa, Iowa. Interested in your song. Please rush to Chicago at once, my expense. Think we can make deal. Sign it, Fred Forrester, President, Forrester Music Publisher, Incorporated.
Listen, Fred, ain't there nothing I can
do?
No,
Benny, there's nothing you can do. Send that wire right away.
Oh, okay.
Great boy, Benny. Good musician, good manager, but he just doesn't have a nose for a hit. Yeah?
Here's Mr. Logan.
Oh, yes. Come in, Mr. Logan. My name's Forrester.
How do you do, Mr. Forrester?
Well, we might as well talk business right away. Sit down.
Thanks.
I think you have a good number, Mr. Logan.
Well, I thought so, too, when I wrote it. It's been out and around the country for quite a while now, you know.
Yes, I know, but a writer can't put a song over by himself, Mr. Logan. You've got to have the help of a publishing house.
Yes, I suppose so. I guess I was foolish to try to do it alone.
I'm doing quite a jobbing trade here, and we have a good-sized orchestra mailing list. I'd like to handle your song and help put it over for you, and for myself.
Well...
I'll give you a substantial advance and 5 cents a copy, and we'll go the limit to exploit it in every way possible.
Well, all right, then. It's a go.
Good. Benny, make up 3 copies of a contract right away.
Listen, Fred, can I please speak to you on my second, please?
Yeah, sure. After you get those contracts ready and after Mr. Logan and I sign them.
All right.
When the deal had been consummated, Logan returned to Oskaloosa, and the business of exploiting a new song was underway in the office of Fred Forrester. Many orchestrations were mailed to orchestra leaders throughout the United States. Many of them ignored Forster's new find. Others wrote him and laughed at what the publisher declared to be a coming hit. A few played it. Phonograph companies flatly refused to have anything to do with such a weird, fantastic tune. Hundreds upon hundreds of orchestrations and professional song copies flooded the country. Finally, a month after the last copy had gone out, a few orders began drifting in by 2s and 3s. Then they advanced to 25 and 50. Next, there came a telegram from Seattle ordering 1,000 song copies. Suspecting a joke, Forrester wired for confirmation of the order. It came, and the 1,000 copies were expressed to the Northwest. More and more, the large orders came rushing in to be filled and doubled and tripled the next time. The country had gone wild over the new song. An avalanche of orders made it necessary for the Forrester Company to increase publication schedules. A new hit had been born. Then, one day, months later, Frederick Knight Logan and Fred Forrester meet again in Chicago.
Well, Mr. Logan, you've made quite a lot of money out of your song, haven't you?
Yes, I have, thanks to your faith in it, Mr. Forrester.
About $100,000 so far, isn't it?
That's about it, yes.
Well, I'm glad I had the opportunity of handling it. It's meant a lot to us, too. And what do you think about it now, Benny?
Me? Oh, well, I still think it was a freak.
Yeah. All right, Benny. You take another week off and find me 10 more freaks like the Missouri Waltz.
Their banjos were strung.